You are listening to The Real Shia Beliefs, a collaboration between Thacker Lane and Al Hujah Islamic Seminary. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider becoming our patron by donating at thackerlane.org/support.
Now, one interesting aspect of Catholic shafa'ah and intercession is the practice of confessions. In Catholicism, historically, you could go to the church, meet the priest, confess your sins, and you're forgiven. Give a few Hail Marys and that's it. The sins are removed from your back. So basically, Catholics believe in the sacrament of penance, where people would be confessing and they would be absolved from their sins. Now, Protestant churches don't believe in confessions. You know, they don't believe that you can go to the reverend or the priest and confess and, you know, automatically God will forgive you. This is mainly found in Catholicism. And in fact, you will find historically, the Catholic Church at one point, of course they stopped this practice, but at one point they would sell indulgences. You know what indulgences were? They were certificates to paradise that they would sell to people. Yes, you could go to the Catholic Church, pay X amount of money, and buy a land in paradise. Now, if you buy a land in paradise, you have to get to paradise. They have to somehow get you there. So that was a guarantee to go to paradise. They say, as a side joke, they say one day a man went to the priest. There was a long line of people wanting to buy property in paradise. He went to the priest and he told him, how much is a land in paradise? He told him, let's say, what's equivalent to $100. He told him, I want to buy hell, land in hell. Do you sell that? He's like, what? Why? He's like, I just want to buy hell. It's like, buy all of it, sure. So he gave him $100, or what's the equivalent to it. He's like, okay, give me on pen and paper that I bought hell. He's like, here, take, all of hell is yours. So when he bought hell, he went outside and he announced to the people. He told them, oh people, no need to buy lands in heaven. I bought hell, it's all mine, and nobody's going to enter hell. So feel free. Whatever you're going to do, you're not going to end up in hell. Yes, sister.
You know, the Bohora sect, they also have the same concept about buying Jannah, peace in Jannah.
Really?
Yeah.
The Bohora sect?
The Bohora, yeah. That I know of in Africa, where I come from. So when somebody dies, then they go to their priest and they have to pay him and then he will write a Jannah certificate and then they close that, put in the...
Great.
Of the, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, but they break the left arm of the body.
They break the left arm?
Yeah, they break the left arm. The reason for that is so that the left arm is broken, you only get your hisab in your right.
Oh, okay, you get your book in your right arm. Haram.
They come.
I mean, they actually go lower and you hear.
Interesting.
They crank it, yeah.
SubhanAllah, when you stray from Ahlul Bayt, imagine the kind of ideas that come forward. Yes.
We do have incidents, I'm not sure if it has sources, but I have heard about incidents where the Prophet or the Imams would actually give the letter to the person. Like, there is this incident of a man who was very sinful and he went for the ziyarah of Imam al-Islam and he died on the way. And then while doing the tawaf of Zidzali, Imam was very upset with him. And then he gave the wasila of Lady Fatima al-Zahra, salamu alayha. And Imam he was okay with him. And then he gave a letter that you shouldn't be punished and you should get paradise. So how would we justify this to that? And then we have even incident of, remember the...
Yeah, sometimes...
biography of Prophet... where he said that I'll give you two treason.
Yeah, sometimes in the lives of the Imams and the Prophets, we do see instances of them guaranteeing paradise for some. But basically, what those incidents mean is that when the Prophet ﷺ is asking you to do something, and he says, if you do that, I guarantee paradise for you, Essentially, it means that because you've made this act of sacrifice, I will ask Allah, invoke Allah to bring hidayah in your heart, such that if you stay as a good, decent person, you don't turn into a criminal, you'll go to Jannah. So this type of guarantee is not an automatic guarantee where that's it. Now that I've given you the guarantee, go and sin as much as you want. No. It means I'll give you that extra push. I'll help you. I'll ask Allah to make the conditions right for you. But in Arabic, it's a motivating way to encourage people. Just like at the Battle of Khandaq, when the Prophet told his companions, you know, if you go and fight Amr ibn Wud, I guarantee paradise for you. Okay, what if someone goes and fights Amr ibn Wud and then he denounces Allah and says, okay, now I'm going to paradise? No, of course not. It means you stay as a good Muslim, but I'll help you out. I'll ask Allah to keep you on the right path. Now, what's the Islamic perspective, and we end with this, on confessions? In Islam, do we believe in confessing your sins to anyone? We have two types of mistakes. We as human beings, we have two types of mistakes, two areas or dimensions. One is when you make a mistake in your judgment, how you deal with other people, how you run things. Over here, it's recommended to admit your fault. In fact, it humbles your heart. We have hadiths about that. When you do something wrong, admit that you did wrong. Admit it. You know, the way I handled this issue was wrong. The way I responded back to you or attacked you, it was wrong. I admit my mistake. Admitting your faults is actually a good deed in the eyes of Allah, because it humbles you and it keeps you away from arrogance. Arrogant people don't like to admit that they're wrong. That's recommended. If by confession we mean this area, this is good. But in Catholicism, as we saw, no. A person goes to the priest and they admit their private sins. Admitting sins and confessing to sins that you did privately is a big sin in the religion of Islam. In fact, there's a hadith from the Holy Prophet ﷺ in which the Prophet says, "Kullu ummati mu'afa." My ummah has a chance at being saved. إِلَّا الْمُجَاهِرِينَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الْعَمَلَ بِالْلَّيْلِ فَيَسْتَرُهُ رَبُّهُ ثُمَّ يُصْبِحْ فَيَقُولْ يَا فُلَانِ إِنِّي عَمِلْتُ الْبَارْحَ كَذَا وَكَذَا. The Prophet says, one group of my nation, they won't be saved. Who are they? They commit the sin at night, in private. Then the next day, they go and they tell their friends and family, oh, last night I committed X sin, I did X sin. This is tough. Allah may not forgive such people. If you committed a sin privately, keep it between you and Allah. Now why? One reason is because when you talk about your private sins, you normalize the sin. See, if that morning I hear, you know what, my friend last night, he committed X sin. You know what? It seems a lot of people are committing that sin. So it's okay, it's normal. It normalizes it. And the Quran prohibits us from publicizing the fahisha, anything that is immoral. So confessing sins in Islam is a big, big sin in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you ever committed a sin, don't confess it in front of people. Keep it between you and Allah will forgive. But the minute you publicize your sin, Allah may not forgive you. But remember, make a distinction between faults and mistakes, admit them, confess to them. And private sins that you committed, between you and Allah, keep it between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the religion of Islam really condemns the act of confessions. And what, you know, Catholics do by going to a created individual who's sinful like them, who has the propensity to sin like them, and to confess their sins before that, this is not something that Prophet Isa a.s. ever advocated in his life. And remember, not all Christians accept this. As we saw, the Protestants, a lot of them don't believe in confessions. You have many Catholics who believe in confessions. Yes, brother.
See, that's a very good point. I think all those were good points. Because I remember many years ago, I saw an evangelical guy on Sunday. He was in a church, and one of his criticisms of Islam was Islam doesn't have a solution for sin. They don't have confession. So those are good points for us when we face people that tell us that, that we should be ready to answer those, with that logical kind of...
It's very important to be familiar with this, yes. So we do have confessions, but between you and Allah. Confess to your Lord. Your Lord should know what you did, not others. When you talk about sinful act, it spreads immorality in society. It normalizes the sin. It takes away the ugliness of sins when it's normalized. So keep it between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes.
Also, we have in hadith that we shouldn't have the witness for our sins. So if we confess it to others, they may become a witness on the day of judgment. Like, even if Allah wants to forgive us, but because we have a witness now,
the witness will remember that sin.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yes, brother.
Let's say you're trying to talk about like things you did wrong to somebody else and try to steer them clear of those mistakes. Now, is it permissible to speak about that sin or not?
Now, a very good question. Let's say you go to someone like a scholar and you want to seek help to break away from your bad habits and sinful habits, right? So you tell that person, you know, I've done these sins and help me. How do I get out of, how do I help myself move away from these sins? See, when you want to do that, that goal is a noble goal. But remember, don't be specific with what you did. Say in general, go to a scholar and say in general, you know, if someone's struggling with a sin like that, what do you do? But don't tell him exactly what you did. Don't tell a fellow human being. Sometimes that human being could look at you negatively. Remember, we're humans and we have emotions. I could look at this person like, oh my, what has he done? Right? And that could stick in my mind for good. So ask in a general way. Ask advice. You know, if someone is struggling with these types of sins, what kind of advice do you have? But don't go into specifics and tell that person exactly what you did. This is uncalled for. So that way you can get, you know, positive advice. Now, maybe the person whom you're seeking advice from might sense that you may have committed those sins. But remember, it's just a general idea in their mind. It's not something that's specific. Maybe you're asking on the behalf of a friend. I don't know, right? But when you come and tell me exactly what you did, this is not something that Islam encourages. So with that, brothers and sisters, we conclude the discussion on intercession and shafa'ah, which is a very, very important intercession. And don't forget that we also have worldly shafa'ah, worldly intercession. We have hadiths that state in this world, if you want the blessings of Allah, you do shafa'ah for others. People need help. Financially, helping them is a type of shafa'ah because you're helping them. In fact, we have a hadith that states the best type of shafa'ah is to help two people get married. You're being a shafi', an intermediary, bringing two people together. Either they get to know one another or to fund their marriage, for example. That's the best type of shafa'ah. So we also have worldly shafa'ah, which is something that we should remember. Islah dhat al-bayn, reconciling between two people, that's a type of shafa'ah, bringing people. Anytime you act as a link, an intermediary, to do good amongst people, that's called shafa'ah fi dunya. And we have many hadiths from the Prophet ﷺ about shafa'ah in this world. So with that, we conclude our discussion on shafa'ah. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلِهِ الطَّاهِرِينَ